Hello, everyone. It is Wednesday, August 19th, 2020, and this is Liberty Church Audio. I'm Pastor John. We've been in our building a couple of months now since the lockdown, and we are having a great time, and I'm glad to be able to say that, as far as I know, no one has gotten sick from the COVID virus, and we are having a good time worshiping together. And since we've opened back up, we've had a youth event that was really big, really well attended, with activities outside and good food and a lot of fun. And we are looking forward to doing more of those here in the fall. Also, we had our teacher appreciation lunch as the school year got started. The school year was postponed and it just started this week, but during the in-service week, we were able to hand out 118 meals to our teachers to say thank you for what you do, and to let them know that we're praying for them. And we did receive a lot of prayer requests as they came through. So I encourage every one of you to pray for our teachers as the school year starts up. There's a lot of uncertainty and questioning about how things are going to be done, and it's all different and a little bit strange. And teachers are concerned about how to go about their jobs, and because they want to do them well. And they're also concerned about the well-being of their students as well as the staff. So just keep praying as we go into the fall season. 2020, of course, has been extremely difficult, a strange time in our culture. And right now we're going through a lot of political division, a lot of cultural division. People in power are very divisive. And then on the other hand, we as people are easily divisible, and that's just as blameworthy. Easily angered, easily divided, and we're experiencing little grace or patience for one another, because many are not seeking the well-being of all, but the desire to have power over others. And of course, when that happens, there's no grace, patience, redemption, or mercy. The parties of this world are in a tug of war back and forth, not necessarily over turf or land like the old days, but over power and prestige and climbing a hierarchy in order to have power over others and pound down others who would threaten their position. And there is plenty of blame to go around. But Christ, when he came preaching a different message. He offered a different life than that clamor for position. He said to us, "Have a change of heart, because my kingdom is near." He came to begin and to establish his own kingdom, not only in our hearts, but eventually in the world. And he is calling out people from the battles of this world into another space, another spiritual real estate, so to speak. He's calling us out into a third space, a place where what is right matters, and what is just matters, and loving God and loving others matter. And in his kingdom, he wants people of all kinds of backgrounds to come together in the church and be like-minded. And that's what we talked about last Sunday out of Philippians 2, which the main message out of the first part of that chapter is for us as Christians in the church to be like-minded. Paul wrote to Philippians and said, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded." Now he's saying not in the sense of uncertainty, but in the sense of, yes, there is certainty about this matter. So it's almost like he's saying, since there is consolation and comfort and fellowship and affection and mercy in Christ, we should be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And he is pleading with us, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This is totally supernatural style living. Paul said there's consolation in Christ. That means that we have comfort in Him. This is the idea of someone being called alongside of us, which is the name of the Holy Spirit. We have a friend at our side, and we should be friends at one another's side, consoling one another, because we have experienced that in Christ. He says there's also comfort. I like how the Greek dictionary says and describes the word comfort. It's talking about alleviation, the absence or the removal of pressure or pain. There's an alleviation, and we are drawn aside from care because of the comfort that comes from the love of God. And by the way, if our relationship or our perspective on God because of Christ is troubled or burdened, or like Christianity is the turmoil and pursuit of an impossible standard that we can never quite reach, that's not the gospel message. Paul said there's consolation in Christ. There's comfort of love. And then there's fellowship in the Spirit. There's a participation. There's a belonging, a sense of belonging and participation in the things of God and with one another. And then, of course, affection. This is tender affection. This is gut-level concern for other people and mercy. Paul says, because there are these things in Christ and we have experienced them, then we should be like-minded. That doesn't mean everybody's the same. That doesn't mean everybody thinks the same on matters of opinion or even important matters of politics or culture. But even though we are different and we sound different and we have different personalities, we can still be like-minded. An orchestra is made up of many different instruments with different sounds, shapes, and tenors and natures. But when you listen to an orchestra, if you ever go to a performance, they will have a time where everybody's playing their own thing, getting warmed up, and it just sounds horrible. But when the tuning note comes in, maybe it's an oboe playing that note that everybody is tuning up to, they are going to take all those differences and tune in together. I was doing some reading on this. One article said, if you've ever gone to hear an orchestra play, you know that the performance begins only after a session of tuning. Tuning means adjusting the pitch of an instrument. An orchestra tunes itself to a very particular frequency, usually 440 hertz, a note known as A440. The note is played by the oboist, and the rest of the orchestra tunes their instruments to match it. I like the illustration of an orchestra because it's all these differences coming together and tuning in to one note. You have unity and you have distinction, and that should be the church. And Paul is saying the tuning note that we should all adjust to is the mind of Christ. In Philippians 2:5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then he tells us the note that Christ was playing, and it's the note of humility. In verse 6, he says, "Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." This is a verse that speaks that Jesus is exactly God. He has all the contours and all the nature of God. He's in the form of God, but he didn't see that as a means of taking advantage or holding advantage. He wasn't taking anything away from God by being equal with God. Because of the Trinity, we know that he is God. But it says he emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation. So here's somebody in the highest position who has the right and the authority to be at the top of every hierarchy, and yet he humbled himself. He came down to the level of our need. Now, this doesn't mean he stopped being God. It just means that he relinquished the glory, the position, the rights and privileges of what it means to be God. And he took on the form of a servant. In verse 7, he became a bondservant and came in the likeness of men. And that word likeness here is speaking that he was exactly a man. We believe that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, was fully God. And we believe that he became fully man. But even after that act of humility, God becoming man, Paul says he stepped down even further and humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. So he humbled himself to become a man. And then he humbled himself even further as a man, obeying to the point of death, because this was the will of God, even the death of the cross. Tom Holland, in his book Dominion, reminds us about crucifixion that it was not just a punishment like any other. It was one peculiarly suited to slaves, to be hung naked, helpless, to beat away the clamorous birds, long in agony, as the philosopher Seneca put it. Swelling with ugly wheels on shoulder and chest was the very worst of fates. Tom Holland further reminds us that the empire had the right to burn, crucify, or throw to the lions anyone it deemed necessary. And the cross was deemed to be the worst of the three. He said it was the archetypal punishment for a rebellious slave. It was physically excruciating. It was also public, a billboard for your humiliation. Christ stepped down into that he might save us from our sins and from its consequences. And because of that, and after that, and only after that, as a man, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ, who is at the top of every hierarchy, descends to go to the lowest place underneath everything considered to be a hierarchy. He went down lower than any human being has ever gone, and then God has raised him back up above all principalities and powers, above every aspect of existence. This is the nature of Christ. God is the most humble person in the universe. Christ is the most humble person that's ever lived, and that is who we should tune our minds to. That's how we should adjust the pitch of our lives. We need God's help to do that. It's almost impossible without God's help. Because of Christ, we can live without anger. We can be concerned about what we see, but I don't think that we as a church should be angry, driven by controversy, anger, recrimination, or despair. Because we're living for another kingdom. We're living for something else. And then the benefits of that should roll out into this life. If Christ descended to us and gives us consolation when we didn't deserve it, or even when we weren't looking for it, then by the grace of God, we should be able to turn around and give that to each other and then also to the world. I think that's what we need in this day. Liberty Church Audio is produced by Liberty Church of Cosby and is now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. Subscribe to the audio there as well as at TuneIn plus Alexa. And you can find out more at libertypastor.com or at our Facebook page at Liberty Church of Cosby.